For the October 1st meeting of the Planning and Development Committee of Council.
I'm so sorry. I thought it was 1:00.
Whatever.
That's all right. You're 15 minutes early then. So the first order of business is approval of minutes of the September 4th meeting.
So moved.
We have a motion and a second to approve minutes from September 4th. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, the minutes are approved. Next is public comments. If we have anyone who would like to make public comments, you can now or at the time of the item. Lori, you going to go ahead and?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you, Chairman Bustos. I'm Lori Bixler, 144 3rd Avenue, and I'm here to speak about the short-term rental new legislation that's being worked on, and I appreciate all your hard work on the council. I'd like to start today by just asking that you all keep an open mind. I do hear a lot of viewpoints coming, and I've reviewed the minutes, and I'm not sure that all our council people are keeping an open mind through this proceeding, which is causing me great dismay. And I don't think that you have all the information in yet to close your minds, so I would appreciate that. There's a vast amount of money that flows to Mount Pleasant through the accommodations tax, and I'd like you to remain aware of that because it does fund things like the holiday parade, the blessing of the fleet, our 4th of July fireworks, the oyster roast, and things that we all enjoy. So please don't be too fast to throw away the tax money that benefits everybody. And I know that you're kind of looking at downtown, but I want to also remind you the difference. In downtown, they loosened their legislation. Short-term rentals were illegal for the most part, the houses. And in making their laws, they were opening them and loosening them. In Mount Pleasant, having a house to rent short-term is currently legal and allowed. So when you put in the legislation, you will be doing the opposite of what downtown Charleston did. You will be tightening the rules. And we do welcome fair and reasonable legislation. I also want you to keep in mind the property vested rights that South Carolina grants, and to remember to grandfather in those people who have been doing short-term rentals properly and following their rights of private property. And finally, I want to mention that there is some precedent from other states that say that renting short-term is not a commercial use of property, that it is no different than renting long-term or renting for 3 months, that it is still a residential use of a residential home. And I'd like our council people to keep that in mind and defer to HOAs and defer to other things when you create your fair and reasonable regulations to make Mount Pleasant a good place to live and to help us all afford our homes and continue to rent if we have been renting as good citizens. And I thank you for your time.
Ms. Bixler, would you mind providing us with a source?
Arizona.
Do you have a resource document that you can send us or
I would have to get that. I would hope that you might have staff that could find that better than me, but I will try.
Okay.
And I appreciate you asking. Thank you.
Thank you, Laura. Is there anyone else? Okay. With that, Jeff, you're on.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon. First couple of items are annexations for you to consider today. This first one is over 2 acres of land at 1306 Old Rosebud Trail. The comprehensive plan recommends very low density rural conservation 3 land uses, and this would be zoned as part of the Pepper Tract conservation subdivision or plan development district, and there is an existing single family house. So it's located here. Many of these lots existed as this property was being zoned and moving through, coming into the town. and you see the, again, cross-hatched areas that are still unincorporated county, and this would be being brought in, this particular parcel.
Okay.
Any questions? All we have.
What is the Pepper Tract PDCD as compared to rural conservation?
It set its own standards, but these lots in this particular portion are large, as you can see. That one's 2.2. Some of the other lots are even larger than that. So the conservation design approach was to have open space areas. This one happened to be the equestrian arrangement and then residential within it. And there are considerable open space requirements for this particular development that we track and monitor as development occurs. But effectively, this was an existing lot that's now just being added to that PD zoning designation.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Okay, we have any other questions? Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve the recommendation. To approve a recommendation of approval to the town council. Anything further? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Okay.
Next annexation is 3721 Station Point Court. It's in River Station subdivision, which is north of Commonwealth. It is about an acre of, just under an acre of land. The comprehensive plan recommends low density. It does have an existing single family residence, and it would be then zoned in accordance with the plan following our ordinance to R1 low density residential. So here's the property here up on this portion of the town towards the Wando River. There's the parcel there. And you have a series, again, of unincorporated lots indicated in the crossed hatch pattern. That's all we have, Mr. Chairman. Oops.
Motion to approve.
Okay.
Second.
Have a motion, a second. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Ayes have it. Okay, C.
C is 1009 Theodore Road. The comprehensive plan calls for community conservation land use, and it would be assigned the corresponding CC zoning district. This particular lot is vacant. It's in Beehive Plantation subdivision up on the northern end of town, south of US 17. There's the location there, and in this case, considerable property all around the Beehive Tract that is still unincorporated Charleston County.
Okay, and what's the zoning on it?
It'll be CC, Community Conservation.
Okay.
Motion to approve.
Go ahead.
I'll second it, however.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Okay, the ayes have it. Number four, Planning Commission recommendations.
Yes, sir. This is the first item from the last Planning Commission meeting. It is to rezone property at 1108 Braddock Road from R1 low density residential to area wide business AB, and you will be familiar with this property. It was recently annexed by the town, and it is in an area that is designated for commercial uses, a variety of commercial and non-residential uses located in this particular area. It just happened to be we discussed before in terms of the timing of annexation and then zoning. So annexation occurred first. Property owner is now zoning it. The one consideration that we have with this property is that the roadway and the frontage that applies and is available to this property, if you see on the bottom bullet, one of the things that we'll have to verify as we move forward and have development is just ensuring the access to the property, this sort of overlapping or coterminous rights of way in this vicinity, and we just need to make sure that those are all squared away as any development might occur on the property.
Okay, so if it's recommended for approval, how are y'all going to, when are you going to?
It would be part of the DRB review, so as part of the redevelopment of the property, then we would verify those things in order to be able to support commercial development on the property.
Okay, so right now we don't know if it's a community road or?
Right, you can see sort of the easements and road rights of way and different designations, so we just pointed that out both to Planning Commission and to you all to know that that's something we'll be working on as actual development would occur.
Okay.
And Planning Commission recommended approval 7-0.
Move to approve.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve. Any further discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Ayes have it. Okay, B.
Next property is 1306 Old Rosebud Trail. This would be part of the annexation and the zoning. And so here's the property here with the designation and the annexation. And so we would be, again, bringing that in and zoning it as part. The other was the annexation. This is the actual zoning. And so we would be bringing it into the Pepper Tract PDCD, and you can see the variety of numbers and tracking and dwelling units and open space requirements, and things are square. We may need on that bottom bullet some additional open space if other properties get annexed into the PD, but we'll look at that as those might come in. So this would be zoning, the actual zoning request to put it in the PD zoning designation, which would be the large lot single family development on the property.
Okay, and Planning Commission recommended
7-0 approval.
Okay.
Move to approve.
Here's the whole subdivision layout, and so you can see the upper end.
Second.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Ayes have it. Okay, we'll move on to C.
Next one is a rezoning at 1450 Chandler Road, which is adjacent to the property you just looked at. This property is at the end of the road, and the aerial photo there, land use designation is Rural Conservation 3, and that's the property that would be zoned. And it was annexed, so you can see it's not crosshatched. So it was annexed back in 2006. It was given at that time an R1 low density residential designation. The zoning district complies that we're looking to the RC2, Rural Conservation 2. And the primary reason for this is there's an existing manufactured home on the property. The property owners are in the midst of getting ready to build a new single-family residence, but under the R1 zoning, having a manufactured home or having two residential units on one piece of land is not allowed under the ordinance. The one zoning district that does allow that is the RC2, and it has even a use, conditional use, that calls for something known as a rural compound, where you can have up to three principal dwellings, multiple dwellings on a single lot. And so this is the district that we recommended to the property owners. They would be able to have the manufactured home and the single family detached. Their ultimate objective is to remove the manufactured home and live in the new home, but this was the only way that we were able to work through the requirements of the zoning and the ability for them to move forward under the plan that they're interested in pursuing.
But they can leave the
They could if they decided, and then they would need to meet those conditions, not more than three. They'd have to meet certain sizes. They would have to, if you ever subdivided in the future, then you have to make sure that each subdivided lot has its own access and those kinds of things. But as we understand from the property owners, that's not their intent. They would ultimately remove the manufactured home. Okay. And Planning Commission recommended that 7-0.
Okay.
Question, Jeff. So if I understand you correctly, then they would not be permitted to start construction on another single-family home as long as the manufactured home is there?
Yeah, and that's what we've been trying to work out is the timing. So they're working, and I think they may have submitted for their building permit at this point in anticipation of the timing of the zoning change. But the strict letter of the ordinance does not allow that to happen. It may be worth an ordinance amendment in the future to be able to consider things like this in this kind of context. It really is applicable, as you would think about in the middle of town on a single family lot, having two structures or those kinds of things. But maybe there are appropriate locations where you would be able to do this on a tract this large. But it was really a timing matter that we're working on.
So they're allowed to have the manufactured house there now.
Right, because it was non-conforming and it was existing. But they can't have two structures. They didn't want to subdivide the property, so they would end up with a manufactured and a new single-family detached, two units on one parcel, which is not allowed.
And when you say what's there now is a manufactured home, you're talking about a mobile home?
Yes.
Is that considered a structure?
Yes.
It is?
Yes.
I think we've done this one time before, have we not? Up by the Wanda?
Yeah, it has come up before.
Yeah, okay.
So, I'm good.
Okay. So do we have a motion?
Very good. I'll move to approve.
Yeah, I'll second.
Okay. We have a motion to approve and a second. Any further discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, the ayes have it.
Next case is both a rezoning and a plan amendment, comprehensive plan amendment, to change the future land use plan map from commercial to medium density residential. So it's going in the downward direction. And the rezoning would take property that is now zoned OP, office professional, and move it to the townhouse district. The property is located here. Is it Lauda? Drive that goes in and accesses this neighborhood and Mathis Ferry Road in this vicinity of 17. The situation was yielded by the road realignments and the changes in this area. And so you'll see there's commercial and public and institutional and various office uses occurring in this location. So at the time, as it was served by Mathis Ferry, that made sense. But now the potential buyer of this property, or perhaps even owner at this point, is interested in taking that commercial piece right there on the corner next to Wando East Townhomes and at the entrance to Wando East Subdivision and changing that to TH to match and do townhome development on that piece of property.
And the Planning Commission
recommended approval 7-0. Under the zoning and the density allowed under the TH, they would potentially yield a four-unit townhome development on this. That'd be the number, even though the density allows up to six. Not enough acreage to do six. And Planning Commission's thoughts were the situation and the changing context. Those are the reasons why you would end up changing the plan and changing the zoning. And there were a few neighbors who spoke with a preference to the residential development there versus a commercial office use at the entrance to the subdivision. And the applicant is here.
Okay. Does anyone have any questions?
Just a comment. In addition to the context changing, if I understand Mr. Morrison's comments in the minutes, there's a significant difference in trips, traffic. Commercial versus what's being proposed. I think what's being proposed is very small percentage of the number of trips that a commercial enterprise would generate. So anyone who knows that piece of property knows traffic there is a real difficult issue today. So by changing the zoning, we would perhaps reduce the number of cars that go through that intersection as well. So I think that's another reason for us to consider minimizing the traffic in that area as well.
Yeah, you almost can't turn left out of that street.
Yeah.
Right. And then with the new high school coming in the future.
Okay.
That's a good point and was another one that Planning Commission discussed.
Okay. I'll move for approval.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to recommend approval. Is there anything further?
Yes.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Okay.
The next item is a text amendment to the zoning code, and we've been working with Mount Pleasant Water Works on this particular change. And so their pump stations for their facilities are allowed in every zoning district as a conditional use, but there are a series of conditions and requirements that you'll see next that make it sometimes difficult to apply. These places are, you know, these are small parcels of land, may or may not be surrounded by existing development, maybe part of a new development. And so what we were attempting to do in working with MPW staff, one of their options was to rezone 130 pump stations and change the zoning and do other things. We saw this as an alternative where you would build a set of conditions and requirements that were reasonable, that they believed that they could meet. And so what we've done here is propose this text amendment, and you would have standard requirements in the language. And on the left, you see the language changes that were presented to the Planning Commission. Planning Commission did recommend approval of it in that form at 7-0. And then in continued work with MPW staff, you see a couple of other changes that we've done. And these deal, again, with setbacks, how you might buffer and install a fence and work with the size of these parcels. And we also added item number 5. We, as you might expect, we're focused on new pump stations and hadn't made accommodation for an existing pump station. And so the idea that if you have an existing one, they would do everything they could to try to conform to the new standard of fencing, buffering, and those kinds of things. But in some instances, they may not be able to. And then the final change under number 6 is that this becomes something that staff could approve. Even though it says the director, it's intended to be a staff approval of these changes. And again, Planning Commission recommended approval, and not sure if we've been working with David Nisi and his staff on this one, and they were comfortable with the language.
Okay, I don't see anyone from Waterworks here. I suppose they are. Okay, any questions? Yes, sir.
So if I'm reading that correctly, we're not allowing 6-foot tall chain link fences anymore?
Correct.
Thank you.
Okay.
That's it.
Do we have a motion?
I'll move for approval.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Anything further? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Ayes have it. So that's recommendation for approval. Next is number 5, a status report on Patriots Point Boulevard realignment project. And I see there's an executive session was added here for legal and contractual. I guess that's in case we got down in the weeds. Don't want to get down into the contract, but just kind of wondering where we are. And the one point that I'm really concerned about on this one is where we are in cost, because this was proposed when? 13, 14?
Oh, yes, sir. Several years ago. Yeah. I'm sorry, sir. Did I interrupt you?
No, no.
Oh, okay.
No, no.
The original commitment was $1.5 million. We spent just over $300,000 on design. And so we have $1.2 million. 1.1, 1.2 million remaining to go towards the cost of that project. The intention has been to complete the design, of which we have done, and we have given it to the foundation. Mm-hmm. We have held back the remaining amount of money with the idea being to be supplied once construction was underway. Since then, and there were some discussions at council as to when exactly to provide those remaining funds, and since then, our attorney, our legal staff, led by Mr. Hinchy, has been speaking with, I think they have a meeting this week again, Mr. Craver at the Development Authority, as to finalizing some of the details of the agreement of how to turn over the remaining funds. So that's where we are.
Okay. And the cost, what was it?
Yeah. What was
the entire thing?
Oh, for
we were going to contribute our one-plus million, but do we have any idea what the cost is?
Yeah, the cost of the road has increased quite substantially over the cost of time. Mm-hmm. And of course, the remaining, after the money we pay, that cost is to be borne by the museum foundation. I think Brad is in the room. Do you recall roughly where we're at now?
Well, the organization is developing all the cost estimates. So as Eric has indicated, we're only up to 1.5. The last estimate I heard included all of the utility relocations. The total all in was $4 to $5 million.
Okay.
That's not just the road cost. I think I haven't seen what they come up with the road cost. We initially estimated the high low two million dollars for the relocation.
Mm. Yeah.
They would be working with bidders right now to get their cost.
And one of the reasons I asked this in conversations with Mr. Duffy, MPW, he's going to have to be relocating some of the utilities. And some time ago, he estimated $500,000, and it was unfunded. So at this point, you know, we're going to need to get them in the loop because, you know, if that $500,000, if there's not a funding mechanism for that, that means water bills are going to go up. And, you know, I don't think we need to pass on part of this road to the water ratepayers in the town. So some of that needs to be added. And then, I guess, SCE&G and all that.
That's right. It's the museum's burden to locate the remaining funds to construct that road. We're living up to our end of the commitment. But they have to get the road itself constructed.
How big a challenge, and this is just me asking this, how big a challenge would it be with the contract and Mr. Hinchy when you have your meetings? And we had talked about this, that we should, because of the escalating costs of this, and I don't want the town to put money into something that may not come to pass, would it be possible for us to hold or put our money, our one-plus million dollars in escrow, and then when it's completed, then we give them the money?
Yes, sir. I mean, and it is possible, and we feel at the staff level, based on prior conversations at council, that's the expectation. So that's our position in negotiating.
So we're not going to kick it in when construction starts. We're going to hold it in escrow until it's completed. And then we'll reimburse them the one-plus million dollars.
You can do it any way you like, but if it's my understanding was that council would like some type of clawback if that project doesn't come to fruition.
Okay.
I think that's, you know, logical, good thinking, but I don't know if that protects the town completely, because building the road is this much of that project. You know, they may not find the money to be able to build the museum. And then the road will be done. We will have spent our money, but...
Well, yeah, and my intent is I just want to protect the taxpayers' money here in Mount Pleasant. And that's why I thought that if they do have the wherewithal, and right now we don't know how much it's going to cost, but we should have something to protect the town's, the taxpayers' money, so that if something should happen, even to the road, that we will have not contributed to fail construction, but when it's complete, we can do that. Of course, the museum says that they can use the state money, and that's $5 million. So I would rather see them go ahead and use that, and then we reimburse them rather than immediately put our money in, and then if it doesn't work out, then we've just spent $1 plus million to do a road that may not be needed. So what do y'all think about just having a provision to hold it in escrow until?
Well, I think that I think that's important, but I think that what is key is what Eric just said, which is having a clawback provision, which is if they do this road and we do reimburse them, and then the museum foundation fails to raise the funds necessary to build the building, and then what's going to go in there is some commercial property, that we have some recourse to because we apportioned that money for the purpose of the Medal of Honor Museum. We did not put it there so that there could be condos or hotels built there on the creation of that parcel. So I think it's more important that we have a clawback provision.
And we today, our position here at the staff level, until told otherwise, is that the money would go into escrow and only be turned over upon completion of the roadway.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
I know you don't speak for Patriots Point, but don't they have a similar situation set up like that where they're protected as well if the funds aren't there to do that road? And I shouldn't even have asked.
As it comes to the parcel, yes.
Yes.
The parcel only, though.
So I think Patriots Point's protecting themselves. We're just merely trying to protect ourselves. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's correct. And to what GM is saying, if we create, 8 acres of land by moving that road and it's not built, you know, we will have participated in creating 8 acres of land for Patriots Point. So,
But I don't know if I agree with that completely. Yes, we will have produced 8 acres for Patriots Point, but there's a good possibility that we could benefit from that as well.
Yeah, and that's what I want to be certain of.
Oh, okay.
That we get a return for our $1 plus million,
right.
And that's in writing somewhere.
We hope it to be negotiated into the document that you'll see at the council level when it's ready for approval.
Okay.
But I just want to make sure that that's our approach. It still leaves the possibility that, as a first step, the museum foundation could construct the roadway, have the money, and we could release our money to meet our obligation under the agreement. And then they may not, if they are not able to construct the museum, it still leaves us contributing to a roadway that was moved without the museum. I bring that up because Mr. Bustos, I thought maybe I heard that there was some concern that of the possibility that the roadway is moved and the museum is not built. And as we plan to move forward right now at the staff level is to have it that we let go of that money once the road's done. And so there would not be a clawback provision if the museum is not built.
So there is no clawback at that point.
That's right, unless council said the only way we're going to contribute the money is to have the clawback only after the museum is built. And at this point, I don't feel we've been given that direction, that really the only clawback pertained to the roadway.
Okay. And if I'm getting a little bit past where we are, once the roadway is built, mm-hmm. and let's say the museum isn't built, there's that land. Who controls that land then?
If the museum is not built, it would revert back to the development authority. But it's not zoned. So the zoning at some point in the future by the authority, whoever they may have entered into a long-term lease with on the property, would have to come back here for council's approval on what the parameters of that zoning would be.
Okay. I got it.
And that's good.
Yep. that answers, you know, the part that I had. Do y'all have any questions?
No, I think the way that Mr. DeMora explained this was my recollection of the direction that we gave during previous council discussion on this. So I assume that's the way the agreement's being drafted now, is under those same direction. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So that comports with what I believed was the was what we agreed on previously.
I just one comment. I appreciate the fact that we didn't run into executive session to talk about this.
Mm-hmm.
This is important to a lot of people. And I'm just glad that we had this open discussion in front of everybody, and I commend you for leading us through that. Thank you.
Is that all?
That's all. This meeting's gone a little too well so far. I'm waiting for
Okay, I'm the one that put that on there, and I'm satisfied. Does anyone else have anything?
I guess I just want to be clear then that should this museum not be built, but the roadway is built, then the town will have contributed $1.5 million towards the development of something other than this Medal of Honor Museum.
That's the risk.
Okay.
All righty. That's a good point. Bob, anything?
Nothing else.
I see you thinking.
Always.
Yeah. Always thinking.
Yeah, but.
Always say.
You were thinking intently. Okay, so there's no need for the executive session, so now we're at the comprehensive plan update.
Yes, I'll turn it over to Ms. Boyles to give you a regular update.
Liz, how are you?
Great, thank you very much.
Good.
Y'all are being so efficient today.
Yeah.
It's a good thing. Efficient normally?
Extraordinarily efficient. Now that it's October and there's a little bit of cool in the air, that takes the weight off. Anyway.
See what happens when they give us a month off?
I know, right? It's a good thing. So, focus. Okay, focus. Comprehensive plan. We have been working hard since the last time we got together. So when we got together last time, we were just getting ready to take the draft document to the plan forum for their initial, tear it up, tell us what we need to fix, that sort of review. We did that on September 6th. We started, I should say started, we're not done. That'd be too easy, right? We started that on September 6th. We talked a great deal that day about issues related to affordable housing, urban corridor, lots of good discussion that day. It was a fun day, actually. And so we staff consultants have been taking those comments and starting to work on redlining, revising the draft that's out there on the website. The plan forum will meet again on the 16th, 2 weeks from tomorrow, to kind of continue the process. The focus of the meeting on the 16th will be some transportation issues that we just didn't get around to last time. Some of it has to do with public transit and the idea of interconnectivity of areas, subdivisions, roadways, as a means of trying to improve the flow of our transportation network. Those were things that the plan forum specifically wanted to talk about. We also will be having an update from the consultants on some modeling that they've been working on over the past month or so that they should have together by that point. When we got together a month ago, I kind of gave you a little bit more of a, started giving you some specifics from the plan instead of just kind of the way high level where we are. One of the things that we talked about a month ago was the idea of these community issues. These issues is an aspect of the plan. These were identified to address issues of the plan forum and the public that came up in our open houses, surveys, that sort of thing. We took all that feedback and kind of you start seeing trends, that things that people are worried about. That's where our issues came from. So I wanted to give you just a little bit of a sense today of a little bit more of the various issues and kind of some of the recommendations that are being drafted to address these issues. This is not everything. I was trying to keep everything on one screen and so you could read it. So it is a summary. So there's a lot more in the plan itself than what I've got up here. But one of the issues has to do with we focused on was the urban corridor or now the Boulevards Overlay District, you know, changed the name partway through the process, so we're trying to incorporate that into the document. Worries about the scale, the height of development along our commercial corridors, and there were concerns, as I know some of you, we've had these discussions before, of course, at council level as well, about just being a little bit too much into too linear down, you know, carrying it down the roadways. So some of the recommendations from the working document are that we would go back into the zoning, the Boulevards Overlay District, and see how we can further refine that to make some changes to better address what has been identified as a worry about a loss of character in the town. Perhaps some of the things that are in the overlay district could be incorporated into the base zoning and just kind of simplify the way our zoning reads. So that's something to consider. But the main focus of this issue has been discussion about the designation and development of hubs. Instead of a corridor plan where everything down the corridor would be developed in a similar fashion, that the focus of development would be more on particularly designated areas throughout town. Instead of having the whole of 17 developed this way, we're going to have an area here and an area here in hopes of kind of keeping it focused and not getting not getting to be too overwhelming. So that's kind of in a nutshell. There are a lot more specifics in there. And part of what would need to happen, the plan has some guidelines, but it doesn't have down to the zoning code level of detail that we will need. So what would end up having to come out of this as a step two of the planning process would be, or the recommendation is, that there would be a special area plan to further dial in the specifics for an individual hub. What would the height be here? What would the setbacks be in this particular situation? That sort
would
of thing.
Would that also take in the hotel districts?
Absolutely.
I mean, that
yes,
would
sir.
Be part of that.
Yes, thank you for bringing that up. The way we've got it defined, those hotel districts are within these hubs.
Okay, got it.
So, yes, that's part of that. Thank you. But that's kind of that would be a future step after the adoption of this plan, is then we'd need to dial into those specific areas and get, you know, get some specific guidelines and criteria adopted in our codes. Sure. Another issue that we've talked about a good bit about, and this was talked about a lot at this last meeting, is the idea of housing diversity and affordability. It came up a fair amount on surveys and throughout discussions of the group that, you know, the whole concern about perhaps downsizing, somebody who had a five-bedroom house no longer needs a five-bedroom house. Where are they going to go? And also our workforce. So we've been kind of wrestling with that a little bit, and we've come up with, we've been, at the meeting last time, we started using the term life cycle housing as opposed to, you know, we had affordable here and workforce here and senior here, and it just kind of got a little confusing. But the idea of life cycle housing, which we've got defined in the plan, I think that is hopefully kind of encompasses all that. You're talking having options for folks at any various part of the life cycle. Of course, we've spun off the 501c3 who will be doing actual, you know, hopefully buildings on the ground sort of work for that. But we, in our recommendations, have some suggestions for what the town can do to facilitate in appropriate areas. Maybe there would be ordinance changes, or maybe there would be ways of changing our definitions that might just make it a little bit easier, because of course part of the concern is the cost of a lot of this, and some of that can be tied back to our regulations.
And let me kick the can over on this with millennials. And you read about they don't necessarily want big houses.
Right.
Is it, who drives the actual size of a house on a lot? Is that the developer? Or is that, do we have any input in that?
We certainly can with our zoning regulations. I mean, in a lot size, it tends to go with.
Is that a concern? Is that something we should look at? Is that an evolving piece of the demographic of residents we're going to have?
Absolutely think so. And I think that consideration would be included in what has been recommended.
Okay.
And again, you know, the beauty slash problem with the comp plan is we've got these great recommendations, and then we have to make them happen. So that's next year's conversation, is what is it we really need to do to our codes to make sure that we're addressing that segment of our population.
Right. So
that'll be a future conversation, but this is laying the groundwork, I hope, for some of those discussions, because, you know, we need our youngsters. We all want to have places to live in this town, those of us who love it, so... And it makes for a more vibrant, healthy community.
Yeah, and there has to be some answer to that other than apartments.
Absolutely.
I would think.
And I hope you'll like what we've got in there.
Okay. I look forward to it.
Okay. I've changed this, but I haven't changed this. Settlement communities, and I don't know what time it is. We've wrestled with... concerns about the impacts of development on settlement communities for a while. You know, we hear about it periodically when something comes up that will take an area that has been traditional African-American part of this neighborhood and put in a subdivision that some don't feel fits into the character of the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. So that has come out as an issue too. And we've talked a good bit with Charleston County about how we can work together on this, and that's going to be a key to this one. Obviously, working with the communities themselves, working with Charleston County, because most of them are still in the county at this point. Hopefully, the residents will see the benefits of deciding to annex into the town over the years ahead. But I think if there's an opportunity to work with them and the county, that might make it a little bit easier to have that happen. Yes, sir.
Can I? Sure.
Do you feel like that's been discussed enough in the plan? And the residents in the settlement communities are not in the town,
mm-hmm.
and we have some representation on the committee, but we don't have a lot of it, frankly, because they're not in the town. I get it. But I just wish that we could address this some way to make it attractive for them to be in the town at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to have to give to do that. We're going to have to give. But I wish that we can have an open mind to do that. But if we keep saying it's in the county, but you know what? Snowden, 6 mile, 10 mile, they're all part of us. And we're affected by all of this.
Right.
And if we could, has there been any discussion about overlay districts within, from a historic standpoint? Because it's not just where the African Americans live. There's some serious history there.
Absolutely, there's. Oh, I'm so glad you said that. I mean,
it's
the next one on
okay,
my list.
I'll stop. But I'm just saying, I hope we can come out of this with something more than, well, we hope the county works with those people.
No, I totally agree. And I'm sorry I don't have all the recommendations on here. There are a bunch that go along with this. But the county, you may or may not be aware, has in their code with their comp plan amendment, they've put together a historic district overlay that could be applicable in these areas. And that's part of what we've talked about, trying to do something similar in the town so that we can, perhaps make it a group effort to try to get these areas protected. Yeah, one of the things...
Liz, can I just stop for a second?
Oh, absolutely.
Tom, I think you're right on with this. Part of the problem that we've had in the past is the discrepancy between what the town would allow and what the county would allow. And it sort of provided an opportunity for folks to go into those communities and develop things that were not appropriate there. And so I do agree that the key here is to make sure that the county plan and the town plan close that gap. Now, the plus side to that is you have consistent development going on that mm-hmm. people agree on. The downside of that is you sort of reduce the incentive for them to annex in. Because if it's the same rules either place, why bother? But I think the protection of those communities probably trumps the
I do too.
The annexation piece. But I don't know how many conversations we've had over the years of developments coming in here, and because the town and the county are on different pages with what's allowed or what could be developed, it's created divisiveness within the town, it's created divisiveness within the communities, and I know the county has moved forward on this further than we have, but I think we absolutely have to sit down and take a look at the vision for both entities and make sure that they are consistent so that people who want to develop there understand there is no benefit to go to one side or the other. It's the same rules in both places, and therefore we get more consistent development. So I think that is absolutely key, and I'm glad that's going to be addressed more specifically in the plan.
And Liz, let me ask this. The Waterworks is working with, you get them wired in with this too, because when we talk about settlement communities and the matching and everything, the long pole in that tent is water and sewer. And, I think people have been in the settlement communities have been reluctant to annex in because of the cost of water and sewer. So
I'm sure that's got to be a factor.
Yeah,
I would imagine.
So that's one that needs to be cracked as well.
Absolutely. Yes, sir.
So that's one. If we're going to, one, we have to get them, the folks in those settlement communities to annex in, but two, we've got to find a way to get them into to understand they're going to have to get water and sewer to be in the town, and then have to get MPW to understand that there has to be something that can be done to do that.
Okay, so you mentioned historical significance and value. So one of the ideas that has come out of this plan is, and I apologize, this is kind of an old, I was only able to find this old version of the tiny map. 6 miles should be included in this blob as well, which will be fixed, but it's kind of hard to see anyway. So, but in these discussions, and we have our settlement communities. We also have our culturally very significant areas such as Boone Hall, the Charles Pinckney site. We've got our Rifle Range Park, which is tied down into the whole agricultural history of Mount Pleasant once you get down off of Rifle Range Road. And we started noticing that we've got kind of a core of all of these properties together right here in the middle of town, that perhaps there's something we can do here a little differently than we've done in the past to address and protect those historical and cultural values that we all hold so dear. Obviously, there are other areas of town that have historical and cultural significance. Shem Creek, Old Village, all the other settlement communities. I'm not discounting their value. But this part of town is an area that is relatively undeveloped at this point in time, and the historic land uses and land patterns are still in place. Ownership is still in place, that perhaps we can do something a little different and interesting here to protect that, not just for us for today, but for the history, for long-term cultural significance and history of Mount Pleasant. So we've also talked with Charleston County about this and the idea of partnering with them, there are all sorts of practical reasons to work with other people on a project like this. But to see what we could do to bring these landowners and interests together to come up with something that would be really special for the East Cobra area. So that's our cultural core. So let you think about that a little bit. Another thing that kept coming up was the idea of bicycle pedestrian connections throughout town. And one thing that we pulled together then is the idea, we talk about, we need to connect the sidewalk to that sidewalk, and which of course is important, but from a big picture, making transportation alternatives throughout town, a reality. One thing that we kind of pulled together is this idea of the Mount Pleasant Way, which would be a dedicated bicycle pedestrian network throughout town. Give people opportunities to ride your bike from the old village to the new park on Rifle Range Road safely. Take your kids down there for the day. It would connect our parks. It would connect our different parts of town. Another thing that the inspiration for this was there was a lot of discussion in the surveys about, it's us and them. It's the north part of town and south part of town. And, we don't ever get over there, and they never come over here, and it's just different. And we saw this as a way of maybe providing opportunities to get people, to pull the town together. We would also use it as a have historical markers. It would connect historical areas. It would connect the community cultural core that we were just talking about to the rest of the town. It would give opportunities to bring the town together. And, some transportation benefits and health benefits and recreation benefits as well, all in one package. Financial health and resilience. So we just talked about spending a whole bunch of money. So we got to find have a way to pay for it. And it was a concern of citizens and some of the forum members that, we've had so many years of growth that has enabled us to do a lot of what we've been able to do over the past years. And there's a little bit of a worry, and I know y'all have shared it. It's like, what happens when that's maybe not as much of a possibility? When we don't have as much growth coming in, how do we make all that work? So this issue has been looking at, we've been looking at how do we create opportunities for long-term financial health without so much of the growth. So that's the point of some of these recommendations. Goes back to the hubs a little bit. If we can consolidate our focus our development in areas where we've already got good infrastructure, then we don't need to build new infrastructure to host it. Make good use of what we've got. And so that's where these recommendations kind of go. And I'm sorry, last but not least is the issue of open space. We all love, the beautiful Mount Pleasant, low country vistas, views, driving down a tree-lined road. And obviously that came up a good bit in all the public feedback that we've had over the months. These recommendations are an effort to to take what we've got now in terms of green space or open space or different rules and regulations we have and trying to expand it in a more kind of focused, intentional way of trying to make sure that we are providing open space for a variety of needs in the town, whether it's floodplain management or whether it's just vistas down the roadway. I mean, the beauty of open space is it can serve multiple purposes, like that. But at the same time, we've got real issues with, you need to be sensitive to landowners, rights at the same time. So how do we make all that work together? So that's kind of the focus of this issue, these recommendations. And I'm happy to answer any other questions you may happen to have. I think that was my last one.
Are you all going to recommend?
Oh, scheduled, yeah. Sorry. No, I think I told you that kind of at the beginning. We've got another meeting on the 16th. We will then hopefully, depending on where the plan forum stands, if they still feel like they need some more time to discuss issues, then we'll take some time to discuss issues. Otherwise, we'll be moving on to the Planning Commission. And there will be another open house once we've got this draft in a pretty solid format. We'll take that to an open house to get public feedback as it goes into the Planning Commission's tent, if you will. They'll do their magic with it, and then it'll come to you guys. So that'll be in the months ahead.
Okay. Rifle Range Road from Hamlin to Poche Bluff Road.
Beautiful.
Is that designated in any way?
Not at this point in time.
Scenic or anything?
No, sir.
As Liz said, that's a beautiful drive right through there. And I'd sure like to see if we could somehow have some designation, because it would be a shame to lose that.
You've been reading the plan.
What's that?
You've been reading the plan, the action items of the plan.
That on there? Mm-hmm. Well, I drive it almost every day, and I was just thinking, we have Matt's Ferry Road, but right between Hamlin and Poche Bluff Road is really nice. So that's on there?
Yeah, not that one specifically, but the idea of a town-designated scenic highway that would protect some of these values. It's something to consider as an action item. So, again, when we get the plan adopted, move into ordinance amendments down the road, that would be something that was suggested in the plan that might be worth considering.
Then the gaze will go over to Jeff and say, if you could look at a way that perhaps we could do that, because I'd sure hate to lose that, that road now that it's covered and it really looks nice.
Beautiful. So,
okay, is that it, Liz?
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much.
Maybe a silly question, but Crab Bank, that in the town of Mount Pleasant?
No.
Will it ever be?
No.
Could it be annexed to the town?
Oh, you don't want that.
I'm just curious.
Go to the middle of the harbor.
Yeah.
It might already be in our boundary. Yeah.
It is in the town.
It is in the town.
Mm-hmm.
Ha. I never get facts before I open my mouth.
I didn't know. Well, that's cute. You had 50-50.
Okay, so it is in the town. Okay. Thank you.
Going forward into the end of the year, with a view on permit allocation and short-term rentals, I'd sure like to finish that by the end of the year. And the other thing I'd like to ask the committee to think about, I know this has been asked several times, but I'd like to see council or us recommend to council, and we can have it on the agenda next time, a letter to our representatives about annexations and annexation policies. And we're still living in the past, and we should be able to annex everything within our borders. Mm. And that's those few things for the coming months.
Why do we have to wait for that? Why do we have to wait for that?
Wait for what?
The letter to the...
Well, we would, it wasn't on the agenda today. Perhaps we could put it on the council agenda for next week. That might be appropriate, but I think it's time for us to go to the state legislature, and we've got to do something about this. This is crazy the way things are going on, but that's just me. Is there anything else? Eric, did you have anything?
No, sir.
Jeff?
I was just going to reinforce the schedule. So we do know that short-term rentals, permit allocation are geared for November. We have the issue that we discussed a while back about annexation and zoning and that process, that's a code amendment piece. And the small cell wireless facilities, attorneys have been talking town attorneys with representatives from AT&T, and we think the ordinance language we have is pretty close. There's one extra piece of that that would institute some design guidelines that would spell out how we would want to see these, even these small facilities constructed, that we have to work on. So we do have a number of these that are headed your way soon. So you may have gotten a summer respite, but you're not going to get one much longer.
And we also, this month, we'll have first reading on the trees and buffer ordinance.
Yes.
With hopefully November being final reading. Great.
Okay. If there is nothing else, we're adjourned. Thank you very much. Thank you.